Just to start it. It's recording, so we're live.
Okay, we're live. Let's get started.
Do I have to do an intro? Should I just do that separately?
That's the intro.
Because
we're live.
Let's go. Let's get started.
Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Work Time Fun Podcast. I'm your coworker Al, and let's get started. On today's podcast, I'm joined by my wonderful guest co-host again.
Oh, Marvelous Marky, I'm back.
And Raymond, I'm also back.
And he's back.
He wasn't here last time.
He's back. Welcome back, Raymond.
Hey fellas, how are you guys? How's it going?
Oh, it's going.
Going.
Don't all speak at once, you know.
Just kidding. So I'm remote, so I'm just staring at a Discord like chat screen. So,
oh, Marky could turn on this video if he wants.
No.
Okay. Yeah, you'd have to join from your laptop.
Oh yeah, no.
But then you'd get all the background sounds. Okay, on today's podcast, we are definitely going to be talking about solo leveling and not all this other stuff. So, we are going over episode 10, titled "What Is This? A Picnic?" But before then, I just want to check with you guys. Is there anything else that you've watched over this past week or things you've done that you'd like to discuss before we get to our main topic?
Well, maybe just Rebel Moon trailers, X-Men 97 trailers, but no actual shows. It was pretty much just solo leveling.
Well, I've been off for 2 weeks, so I did see a handful of movies, but I'll only talk about one, I guess, that I saw this week.
Oh, yeah.
I saw Lilo and Stitch,
which
is, I thought, really, really good. I think at the time I kind of didn't care for it that much,
mm-hmm.
but watching it now, it's a very good movie.
Is that another one you watched with your kid?
Yes.
Ah, of course. Is it part of your weekly viewing?
Yeah, but this last week we didn't watch anything together, so we're taking a week off. Well, we took a week off.
A little break. I see.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think for me, yeah, a lot of, I guess, trailers and stuff that I'm anticipating to watch. Rebel Moon, not so much. But X-Men 97, definitely for sure. What
Acolyte?
Else? Acolyte. Oh, yeah. We had that trailer just popped in recently.
Yep.
So that'll be out in June. That'll probably be something I'll be covering as well. That's it. I'm just trying to wrap up solo leveling. We only got, what, two episodes left. Oh, man.
It's moving pretty quick, actually. I know. Yeah.
Probably just want to mention that I actually picked up all the manhwa, the books. So yeah. By the time the season ends, I'm going to be finishing up the story on the books.
You said there's nine of them? Nine books?
I have eight books.
Oh, eight books. Okay.
Yeah. So I picked up all eight books. Oh. I think that's all of them. Yeah. Yeah. I'm dedicated, man. Yeah. I'm hyped and psyched and everything.
Let me borrow them after you're done.
Yeah, for sure. I think I still have some of your comics.
Oh, probably.
Yeah. The Marvel ones, right, or something.
You have my Shadows of the Empire? Because that's discontinued.
Is it Star Wars? I don't think I have a Star Wars one for me. I have, it was definitely like Marvel or X-Men related.
I see.
Yeah. It was those books. Those.
Oh, okay. Graphic novels.
The graphic novels, yeah.
Omnibus.
Yep.
You know, we went to Barnes today, and I've gone to several Barnes. In the area,
mm-hmm.
and next to every solo leveling section or on the row on the shelf is a solo. So
is a what?
So maybe we should do that one next. Let's buy all the books for those. And
so you cut off. I think I was trying to say. So I'm a spider. So what was the ones next to solo leveling?
Yeah, they're always beside each other. I guess alphabetically. So
yeah,
if I do some kind of like book club thing with that one, we could.
Oh, totally you want to return to So What? I'm a Spider?
No, I'm done with that.
Oh, the manga.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's still ongoing? Oh, my.
Is we'll it just ongoing?
Read
it?
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, okay. That's a lot of inner monologue, right?
Well, in a book, it probably reads better.
Oh, that's true.
I was over with that season. Or I wasn't even done with the season. I was over with a few episodes we watched. So anyways, getting straight into it, let's get to our main topic, actually. Solo Leveling, Episode 10. What is this? A picnic? Marky, actually, if you want to read the synopsis real quick.
Yeah, this is the synopsis is Jin Woo survives tragedy once again, but Woo, Jin Chul, warns him that Huang Dong-soo, an S-rank hunter, may be after his life. Determined to grow stronger, Jin Woo teams up with Jin Ho to raid a succession of C-rank dungeons, but they attract attention.
All right. So this episode pretty much picks up kind of from the last one. And then just kind of recapping the last episode, Marky, I think you said you enjoyed it, right?
I did. Well, I did enjoy it.
Yeah, well,
it wasn't action heavy, but there were a lot of scenes, you know, a little quick.
The previous episode, oh, I mean.
definitely. I enjoyed that very, very much.
And Raymond, we didn't really get to hear from you last week. Well, you weren't here. So a little quick recap of how you felt from the episode 9, the previous episode.
Yeah, I thought it was the best episode of the series.
Oh, interesting.
Oh.
Having said that, I haven't really liked the first 8 that much.
I see.
I think we kind of get that feeling.
It's the best of them.
Oh, so your reaction is exceeded my expectation. Interesting. Oh,
yeah. Actually, that's probably what I would have said in the recorded last week.
Okay. Nice. In this one, like I said, it kind of picks up from the last episode. It starts with the episode starts with Joo-hee and Jin-woo. Marky, did you have any thoughts? I mean, were you going to say something about them two talking, or was there something that you thought about?
Well, I think it continued off the end of last episode, where I kind of thought it was they were going to go on a picnic or something, because that was the name of the episode. What is this, a picnic?
I know, that's right. When we read the next title episode, what is this, a picnic? I thought it was going to be a date between Joo-hee and
Right, because I think she gave him back that essence stone or crystal at the end. Yeah,
she's all like, remember this?
Well, it kicks off right where that ended. And no, they just talk about, she's talking about retiring. It's just like too much for her, you know, the trauma. And she gives Jin-woo back the essence stone. Yeah, nothing really to me. It was just, it looks like it's her exit from maybe the series. Or I don't know, maybe she might come back. Because they did promise to see each other again.
Yeah, if he ever visits her hometown.
Right. She is moving in back in with her parents, retiring from the Hunters Guild or Association.
You hear that, Raymond? Her parents got to her. She's retiring.
that's the smart move.
I thought you'd say that.
I think a bummer that she's not going to be a recurring character. That's the end of it.
Potentially,
I thought her and that, yeah, she could have had a good, you know, chemistry with...
Like a relationship with Jin-woo. Yeah. Our main dude.
Or not even, just like something that kind of, you know, we were talking about like his humanity or whatever, like mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago.
That's right.
Like, she could have been like some kind of foil or, you know, something who kind of plays off of that sort of theme, but she's probably done.
Potentially. I don't know. I mean, we only know from what we know on the anime.
I know there's 2 episodes left in the season. I mean, probably.
Yeah, for the rest of the season, yeah, she's gone. But for us as anime viewers only, reminder
we
audience.
We don't know. Yeah, we just
at least
don't know.
Until after the season when I read the books. But besides that, yeah.
You're going to go into season 2 with like spoilers.
Yeah, I probably get ahead that way. I mean, how long is it going to be? I've seen no announcement about when the next season would be. Did you guys see anything?
No.
Yeah.
Or heard anything? Yeah.
Jeez.
So naturally, I would assume it won't be until next year again, right?
Yeah. Oh, man.
So yeah. A 1 whole year wait on the next season. Like, oh, man. I just hope this season ends with a banger. So,
me too.
After that whole deal with Joo-hee and Jin-woo, then it goes into a little snippet with Woo Jin-chul. You know, the guy from the Hunters Association. Kang Ki-shik's boss. Yeah. The guy. The assassin guy. And he gives Jin-woo a heads up about Huang Dong-suk's younger brother, Huang Dong-soo, who blames Jin-woo and Jin-ho for his brother's death. You know, the party that was going to double-cross Jin-woo and Jin-ho back then in his first C-rank dungeon he went?
The spider dungeon.
Oh, yeah. Spider dungeon. He's all basically saying, you know, Huang Dong-soo doesn't care what happened there. He just knows that his brother's dead and Jin-woo and Jin-ho are alive. And he feels that they're responsible for his death.
He's like a sore loser.
Yeah. So then, you know, it gets to the point where, again, Jin-woo has a reason that he needs to get stronger. And that's before Dong-soo comes after him. And then from there, it cuts to Jin-ho showing Jin-woo all the people he got to sign up for the dungeon raid. So it gets to that point, it's like, oh man, there's a whole bunch of injured people and drunks. And just like, yeah, people who just normally wouldn't be part of a dungeon raid. Another fact, I think we already know this though, but Jinho states they needed a minimum of 8 people to raid a C-rank gate. I think they mentioned that before. That's the whole point with the Huangdong Six party,
that's right?
Yeah. That's why he had to get Jinho and Jinwoo back then. This is the minimum requirements.
Yeah, no, they just reiterated that. And this party that they recruited for these dungeons were a bunch of, I guess you said injured, I think, earlier.
No. Oh, yeah, a whole bunch of got drunks, injured,
not
injured people.
Not as motivated. Yeah, unmotivated to actually go in there. So it worked out perfectly because they didn't want them to go in the dungeon with them. They wanted to solo this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jinho told them, okay, y'all get 3 million each just for sitting outside the gate. On the condition that they don't talk about anything that happens there. Otherwise, they would have to pay back 10 times the amount they were given. So it's kind of like they all signed a NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, right?
Right.
NDA.
Right.
Oh, Jinwoo also notices that there's a young person amongst the party. And then that's where Jinho stated, you know, as long as they're awakened as a hunter, there's no legal issue with recruiting minors. Not super young, but I mean, later on you find it high school age.
Right.
But still.
She has no experience, I believe,
from
what they were saying. Yeah.
But anyways, we'll get to that in a moment. So before they head into that C-rank dungeon, Jinwoo crushes the stealth rune that he got from killing Kang Tishik. And then he's able to add a stealth skill to his abilities. So then Jinho putting on that suit of armor before they get into the dungeon. I thought I was like, this guy Jinho, he's funny. Actually, all that armor, I wonder how much that would have been.
Right. It was just impractical for him to wear. He just couldn't lift anything, couldn't move.
I was like, damn, that Yujin Construction has a bunch of money because all the money they spent for the dungeon, then all the money he spent for that armor.
Right.
It looked even more better than the one he had for the first time he went out.
Yeah.
That was funny when Jinwoo just tapped him and then he falls over. He couldn't even get up. Even Jinwoo told him, hey, dude, take that all off. And Jinho still had to keep the helmet on just because he wanted something.
Right.
Okay, anyways, then, you know, it cuts to Gina. She's Jinwoo's sister. She's in class wondering why her friend, Song Yi, is skipping class. That's where you kind of get the clue in that she's the young girl in Jinho's raid party. Also, you kind of get it. I mean, I didn't kind of get it just yet, but you kind of can tell. She's Gina's friend that was always tagging along with her. When Jinwoo was first in the hospital recovering from the double dungeon.
Yeah,
I think Gina and her friend. Right. Yeah.
She mentioned her brother. Like, isn't your brother a hunter or something like that? I don't know if that was.
Yeah, she was kind of making fun of him. Like, yeah, oh, is he E-rank? Right. I could do better than him.
That was her.
Yeah, I think from back then, full circle comes back to now. I think we're still going to see more of it. Yeah, it goes through. And then the raid party that Jinho has, you know, they're wondering if Jinwoo and Jinho would even survive the dungeon that they went in. And a little bit later, Jinho comes back a little worriedly, and the party thinks he ran away. However, the gate closes behind Jinwoo as he comes out as well, and they clear the C-rank dungeon. I think, based on their estimates, it was about an hour.
About an hour.
Yeah, and they were estimating, man, even with a full team, full squad, C-rank dungeon with a full squad would take about 2 hours.
Right.
So Jinwoo is basically soloing.
In half the time.
In half the time by himself. You kind of get it. At first, you don't understand, like, oh. It really is him soloing because by the next scene, you know, you see them heading into the next dungeon. And then it's just cakewalk for Jinwoo. He has his dagger one-handed and just like slicing and dicing goblins like nothing. You know, the same ones that used to give him trouble as an E-rank before. Now he handles easily one-handed. Basically, one hand tied behind his back easily. And it's funny. Then you see Jinho there. He's mining the mana crystals as Jinwoo's like taking care of all the beasts. He's like, hey, don't worry, boss. I got all this. Let's keep going.
Right. Jinwoo's just leveling up.
Oh, yeah. It's cool. And then it shows him, you know, he keeps leveling up. He's leveled up multiple times. You even see that he upgrades his skills. The skills like dash or like something else. And he even gains more skills. Like the I think it was like Fatal Strike or some other thing.
Yeah, no. This would be a dream. Like if I was playing an RPG, I'm just, you know, it's just one hit kills and I'm leveling up.
Oh, this is an overpowered RPG.
Definitely.
Game lover's dream. Is that how you build your characters in the game?
Definitely how I build my characters. It's just one hit kills. Even the bosses, I try to aim for one hit kills, but that's how ridiculous
I play. Do you play games like that? Like, do you like repeatable dungeons or like areas where you can keep farming to level up.
Yes, I do. I did that with Pokemon, Final Fantasy, Chrono Trigger, Diablo. I do all that.
Yes. And it just so before you hit
those any... older games are designed that way, aren't they?
Yeah.
To level grind.
Yes.
Are they? I mean, in a way, or maybe it just wasn't thought out that people could do that.
Golden Sun. Well, yeah, they were designed to that, so that if you did reach something like that, you could just go back and start grinding, and then you could clear the boss.
It extends like the life of the game.
Oh, retro Raymond. Retro games kind of don't have a lot of depth to them, you know. I mean, depth in the sense that it's not like today's games where, you know, you'll be on a quest doing all these, you know, ridiculous things before you have to do something or gain a skill or gain an armor piece just to be able to fight the next boss. So I guess, you know, in respect to retro games, kind of, you could just keep grinding levels or areas to level up your character and then get to the boss.
Yeah, they also didn't have like YouTube back then for those retro games, so they were kind of really pretty difficult.
What about Game Shark or Game Genie? If audience will know, those were like, what do you call them? Like, I guess cheats or hacks, but without really being hacks, they added to your games.
Introduction to programming, I guess, because you added the...
They were hacks.
Yeah. I mean, it was like an extra cartridge that you plugged into your game cartridge, right?
Yeah.
So that you can unlock skills or whatever for your game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Street Fighter 2 had an air fireball.
Oh, yeah. I think that got added later on.
They gave it to Akuma.
Yeah, they gave it to... Yeah, later on, right?
Chun-Li, too.
She gave it to Akuma.
Right. Well, yeah, Chun-Li's...
Yeah, they gave Chun-Li a fireball, and it ended up in the actual Street Fighter sequel, like Turbo or something.
Did that start it off as a hack, or...
I thought it was a glitch, but you know, they just added the code anyway.
You guys know the history of that?
I saw a long time ago, but I don't recall the detail.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's like Dalsim's Yoga Fire, but they changed the color.
Okay. Same with, was it Ryu's red fireball? Because it used to be, it was blue, and then he had a red fireball. I don't know the detail, but...
I don't know about that one.
Okay.
I remember that was a glitch, too, right? Like, it would just be a random color.
Right.
I think that was a glitch.
I think that was just the color thing.
Yeah, in Street Fighter. But then they turned that into something that actually...
Yeah, the half circle forward.
They actually became...
Made a half circle look...
More powerful.
Some stuns.
Yeah. Oh, man. A lot of stuff. Anyways, it's all game related to this solo leveling game in a sense. Because, I mean, that's what he is. Jinwoo is referred to as a player, right? In this game world.
He's like Akuma with a Game Shark. His code on or something.
Overpowered with even more overpowered hacks. I mean, he's getting to that point. But anyways, so Jinwoo's been upgrading his skills, you know, leveling up, getting even new skills. But then he keeps running out of mana. So he soon realizes he needs to up his intellect, increase his intellect, because he keeps running out of mana. And he can't always use mana potions, right?
That's right.
He knows he needs to work on that. And then as soon as that happens, you know, a little pop-up from the system shows up. The player has reached the required level for a job change request. And I was like, interesting. What's that going to be? But I kind of noticed in the system, under job, there's no title or anything. Like, you'll have titles of, like, Beast Hunter. I forget what it's called. You know, for everything that he's done.
Oh, previously, yeah.
Yeah, they'll give him titles. But then job, I guess he's never had it. I didn't know what made a job. Or is that kind of like class? Because I was trying to figure out, what does job mean? You know, his job's a hunter. What else is there?
Right. But I think up until that point, we assume he's like an assassin build or something like that.
Yeah. I guess that's why. Because, you know, he only had abilities just for that one type of thing, which was like assassin type. But I wonder, is that because of the weapon he chose? So it kind of tailors suited to that.
Maybe. I don't know if he had an official like job already, official job class.
Oh, no, it never was.
Okay.
Like, at least from what I recall.
Okay.
There was never any job status or title for him.
So, I mean, I guess it was intentionally meant to be mysterious so that, you know, maybe he can go in there, figure it out.
So by the time it gets to this, we'll find out. Cut to manager An Sangmin of the White Tiger Guild. And he's been notified that there are no more C-rank dungeons available for their team to train in. Lo and behold, they find out that Yujin Construction has been buying them out. Jin Ho is the party leader. Some unknown, at least to them. But then manager An, you know, he flips through the list of party members. And then one name he immediately recognizes. Sung Jin-woo. Sung Jin-woo, you know, he remembers, oh man, all the catastrophic dungeon events that's been happening. Double dungeon, Hwang Dong-suk's death, Kang Di-shik's, you know, double cross murderer. Who's been in all of those dangerous situations and survived them all? Sung Jin-woo. So then he's like, that's kind of interesting. That prompts him to like have to investigate that. Man Jin-on goes to where Jin-ho's raid party is located. And that's where you get the title of the episode. He's like looking at all the injured people, the drunks, and everyone just hanging out in front of the dungeon gate. All the ones that Jin-ho instructed to stay outside so that he and Jin-woo could clear the dungeon. And he's all like, what is this? A picnic? Title episode. Then as Jin-woo and Jin-ho exit the dungeon, you see Manager On hiding and, you know, kind of eavesdropping. Jin-woo and Jin-ho like discuss that they're probably going to kind of hold off on some of the raids. That's because Jin-woo plans to do the job change quest. He asked Jin-ho to like kind of just delay the next ones.
Yeah, going back to the, I'm sorry, going back to the previous bullet point. What is this, a picnic? The title, I thought it was actually going to be Joo-hee and Jin-woo going on a picnic from the last episode. But
yeah. Yeah, we brushed up on that in the beginning.
Hey, geez, you can cut that out.
Nice.
All right. After that little talk between Jin-woo and Jin-ho about delaying the next raids, Manager On later confronts Jin-woo and tries recruiting him and fails miserably. You know, he totally underestimates Jin-woo and just like, okay. Jin-woo's all like, hey, how much is the White Tiger Guild building worth? It's like, oh, like 50 million. And then Jin-woo's like, oh, so you guys are offering me that? And Manager On's like, what? What are you talking about? Jin-woo showed that, Yujin Construction offered him a 30 billion building. And he's like, whoa, okay. Pump the brakes. Manager On said he doesn't have the authority or whatever to approve that. He'd have to check with his higher-ups. And Jin-woo's like, all right, we're done here. You got nothing else to give to me. But then they kind of get into that whole part about, what's it called? Figuring out that there's something different about Jin-woo. At some point, you know, Jin-woo uses his stealth. And he pretty much warns Manager On. Actually, the cool thing out of everything, I mean, you could hear whatever discussion they talked about, basically the failed recruiting. But the big point I wanted to state was that when he put a cut on Manager On's face, later on he used a potion, you know, out of his inventory and let him drink it, and it healed him. To me, that makes a big point because I was wondered and questioned, the stuff that Jin-woo has, you know, from the system, does it work on other people? Or hunters in general, like, did their skills, like, transfer to, like, regular people or affect regular people? And then from here, it's like, oh, yeah, it does. That's pretty awesome. And the reason for that is because what is Jin-woo trying to do? What is his main reason to do that tower dungeon?
Oh, it's to get the stuff needed to get his mom recovered from her, like, sleep or her coma.
Mm-hmm. To get that one... What is it, potion or whatever, to cure any and all diseases?
Okay.
Right?
You're right. So this actually kind of confirms that whatever he collects, he can use on others.
Presumably, yes. I would think so. Right. So it just further confirms that part, at least for me when I think about it. And so Manager On, he's also swindled out of the C-rank dungeon sales, you know, because Jin-woo's like, kind of like, hey, you know what? Let's keep quiet about everything about here. And so they'll be just, they're even, basically, right?
Yeah, no, they're even. He's trying not to get him to snoop any further. Mm-hmm. Trying to minimize the amount of people that know this.
Yeah, that know about Jin-woo.
Right.
Or get suspicious about him. You know, keep his privacy private. Then we get the next title card for episode 11, A Knight Who Defends an Empty Throne. Kind of have some clues in there. Overall, this episode, you know, a little bit different from the previous episode. Like I guessed from last episode podcast, this is more story-driven, which I presumed, which seems kind of right. I mean, there was a little bit of action, but not really.
It does leave you in suspense into what this job class change is going to be. Yeah, I wouldn't know. I don't know where to start with that one.
What do you mean? So,
like, guessing? What he's going to change into next. If he, you know, I'm pretty sure he's going to go into this job quest.
He's going to become a construction worker.
A healer. He's going to be a healer.
He's going to be a healer. Yeah. Assassin into a healer type. Right. Yes.
Max Vitality.
He's getting his A+ certification.
But anyways.
Like, oh, IT. Interesting.
What's it? Brother Killer. That's his class now.
Is that a title?
No.
Oh, no. He had some other title for killing people, right? Oh,
I don't know. Yeah, something.
Oh, I forgot all the titles there. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, I thought this episode was decent. It was okay. It's a little bit lackluster, especially from the banger of an episode we had last time.
Right.
But, I mean, I get it. It's like, they kind of got this formula going. In my opinion, they got, like, an action episode, then they switch it up with, like, a story-driven episode, and, you know, switch it back. Like, next week, we're going to presume there's going to be an action-driven episode, especially with a title like that, A Knight Who Defends an Empty Throne. I'm like, okay. That, to me, like, if you watch the intro of the anime, it's like, okay, Sun Jingwu fights this kind of guy in a red knight's armor suit. I'm assuming it's that one, right?
Oh, he's like a knight. Yeah, a knight who defends an empty throne. Makes sense.
Like, there's a lot of scenes in the beginning of the intro of the anime. It's like, okay, I've never seen any of that in this episode so far.
And you never will. Just kidding. It's for episode. It's for season 2. I'm just kidding.
That's definitely a tease, if not. I hope we get to see at least, I mean, some of those by the end of the season.
Yeah.
If not, like, damn, they already have season 2 stuff going.
Right, yeah.
But I'm kind of led to believe. I mean, what else are we going to expect? There's only 2 episodes left.
Yeah, because, you know, they went through these, they blew through these dungeons. They really had minimum, like, scenes in them. So, you know, there's something bigger brewing for them to just progress through these things like nothing.
I wonder if this job change quest is going to be just contained to one episode. Or since it's the last two, it's
going to be a two-part episode?
Yeah, like a two-part.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm assuming it's going to be a two-parter. Like, he's going to get through some certain part, then he's going to hit a roadblock or something, and it has to complete by episode 12.
Yeah, and then it'll leave us off a cliffhanger for season 1. Yeah.
Unless there's more. He's definitely too weak to do the tower, right?
Right, and then we still got to find out this brother of, what's it, Dong Suk's brother coming after him.
That's so right.
That's another thing. And then his mom still in a coma. So there's just a lot of things that, you know, we'd like to see.
So, you know, we're done. We thought this episode was all right, right? Kind of so-so kind of episode, right?
Right. Raymond, what'd you think?
That's fine.
Nice.
True commentary.
No, I mean, like, do you have any expectations for next episode or what you're thinking?
Yeah, I can see see him learning something new in this new job or whatever, and then he's gonna like stand at the entrance to whoever three-headed dog was.
You think
you're in episode 12?
Okay, so you think that's gonna happen in the last episode, where he's standing in front of the castle?
Or whatever? Yeah,
he returns just to stand in front of it again.
He still learned to like duplicate himself.
Like Ryu Hayabusa going into the
duplicated too.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. I gotcha.
He's gonna duplicate himself.
In NES. Okay.
It's gonna go like Naruto.
It's a deep cut.
That's right.
I don't know if you guys watched Naruto, where he just like makes a shadow clone of himself.
Oh no, I haven't seen it. But I get it.
Yeah.
He probably stole that from Ninja Gaiden.
Another retro.
I will say, since more commentary, I think I do like that. Who's his friend? The rich guy, Jin Ho.
Jin Ho. Yep.
Yeah, I do like that. He is kind of like this comic relief.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of plays well off of like Jin Woo's kind of stoic.
Yeah. Seriousness. Yeah. You
know. Yeah, like he has
seriousness. Yeah, like they bounce well off each other, right? Because he's kind of goofy. Like even when he mimes, he kind of like runs silly.
Yeah, it's good to see him like.
Hey, off to the next.
Go ahead. Oh, sorry. It's good to see him to actually have like a friend, a buddy. You know, not all this seriousness.
Yeah. And he's kind of a dork, and I think that works. It's good that they saved him for an episode.
Yeah, I think that's gonna work really well. They basically got rid of Juhi, who was just full of trauma and everything. You know, just useless of a character, honestly.
Oh yeah, for the dungeon raids.
And then they replaced her with Jin Ho. Who's going to be comic relief, right? Like Raymond said, his counter, his balance. So in this series, as we keep going, I foresee them, at least they're going on together for all the foreseeable future with all the raids, sea dungeon raids.
I hope so.
Or even further along. I don't know how far their relationship's going to go, but go ahead, Raymond.
Like those two kind of made the episode like more watchable,
mm-hmm.
palatable. right? If he's by himself, you know, then he's doing his thinking again. And
yeah,
they didn't show any of the actual conquering of the dungeons, but having him there does work better.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think it's just, like I said, cakewalk for Jinwoo. So there's no point in really showing action of stuff that he's just going to just roll over. But then just seeing the interaction between the two of them, like Jin-Ho mining for mana crystals, trying to run away from the monsters, and Jinwoo just swooping in, saving him.
It kind of like adds some like levity. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what the show, I think, needed.
I know. Because it's getting dark, especially from the last episode. Like, oh man, you know, all these killings. It's like, especially he's starting to kill humans now instead of just monsters.
He's also, Jin-Ho is also one of the guys that he can actually like keep a secret to. Like, you know, he can actually like, you know, trust him with.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, there's two other people, right? There's the girl, and then there's that old guy.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, those are the survivors of the double dungeon and survivors of Kang Tashi.
It's good to see,
But that guy didn't, like, out or anything, right? He's like, he kept the secret. Like, he said that he killed him, killed the dude.
Yeah.
It was, like, a B-rank.
Yeah, from the prior episode. Yeah. I mean, that's just Mr. Song, you know, just pretty much paying back Jinwoo for saving his life. Twice now. Saving his life from the double dungeon and saving his life from Kang Tae-shik. Because like it would have been over for Mr. Song if Jinwoo didn't step in.
Right.
Mr. Song definitely owes him his life. So does Ju-hee, because he could have been assassinated from the get-go. You know, that was Kang Tae-shik's first target.
Right.
Assassinate the B-rank healer. Yeah.
He wants none of that, though. He's...
yeah.
Time for women.
He's too busy. He's too busy leveling up, man. Who has time for
women? She's like that opening scene, she's like, come on, do you want this or what? And he's like
no. He's like, nope, I gotta keep leveling up.
Oh, there is a scene where some guy's dreaming in red. I don't know if you remember that.
In red.
Yeah, so
what part is that?
He's having like a nightmare and he wakes up. I think it was the one of the...
Oh, that was Choi.
Of the Hunters Association, right? He's
guild guy.
He was having some nightmares.
Yeah, the guild leader, Choi.
S-class.
Yeah, one of the S-rank. I'm assuming has to relate to Jeju Island. Because remember, he in a few episodes back, he was talking with the other guild leader. And they were talking about how they failed clearing out Jeju Island.
Oh, it's part of his, like, PTSD or whatever.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure it's PTSD, especially when you see some person that's like behind the monster.
He witnessed all this, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's like person that was killed there, that's one of his friends, one of his teammates, or someone that's still left there somehow. It's definitely PTSD.
Okay.
We're led to believe that, they're going to be returning at some point to that. Actually, he had a paperwork. I don't know if was it this episode or last one, I forgot. He had paperwork about Operation like Jeju Island or something.
Yeah, yeah. So there he's gathering everyone to go back into that. That's what I took out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Between him and talking with the other guild leader, they're working team to pretty much get back and try to either complete it or do something, because something was obviously it's still open. It's a dungeon break that they haven't been able to close. That's still lingering on all of them to complete.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So,
but we're not touching that.
Right. It was just because it was inserted into the episode with everything else going on. And I was like, okay.
This will definitely be season two, maybe at least, if not later. Yeah. So I'm assuming season two. Any other theories or any guesses?
No, I think they're just going to stick to maybe just one. There's just too much going on. They'll probably just do this knight who defends an empty throne. I think that it might be that red knight we see.
I think that's going to be the end.
Good, too many, and then he's got to have that closure with his, I guess for the season, he's got his sister, his mom. There's just so many things going on.
Yeah, none of that's going to like...
It's not going to conclude.
Season. Nothing from that's going to conclude. I think only this, whatever it has to happen for this job change quest, I think that's going to happen by the end of this season, by episode 12. And whether that has to deal with this knight, you know, if that relates to his job change quest, I think then that's going to, you know, going to be what determines if it's just the knight is just episode 11 and 12 or episode 11 by itself. So I think depending on if that determines it, then like, we'll get it completed by episode 11. Or if not, then this will take two episodes to finish. And that wraps up the season. That's pretty much what I got. I don't know if you guys got any other thoughts, theories.
No, yeah, no, that's interesting. No. I think you might stand in front of that castle or the tower. The tower.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely needs
the
to
last
go.
Scene of the last shot.
The last shot.
The series.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The season.
Raven's calling it.
Yeah.
So just going in front of it, right? Not actually entering it.
No, there's no time.
Yeah, with two episodes left. Yeah, there's no time. I mean, that's super rushed if they do. Yeah. And then be able to get the ingredients to get that elixir of life or whatever it's called, the healing potion for his mom.
That's just in the post-credits. We got all three, let's go.
Because you figure there's a boss at the end of that tower at the top.
Yeah, there's got to be. I mean, there's at least three dungeon bosses they has to fight, I'm sure. Yeah, to get the three ingredients.
What was that, Raymond? You were going to say something?
Well, it's going to be like evil Jinwoo.
Nice. No, that's for like the end of the show. That's like at the end of the anime. Like all of the enemies. Oh, you beat the boss. Now you gotta fight your evil version of yourself.
That's the abyss that they're talking about.
Oh.
Right?
You fight
evil Jinwoo.
Kang Taishik. If you stare into the abyss, it stares back at you or whatever.
It's like that Shadow Mario or something that follows him around.
Yeah. It's like white eyes, like no pupils.
Or for one of the episodes or shows we watched. Scott Pilgrim. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
When he fights his evil self.
Yeah. Well, they hash it out.
Yeah. Oh, they became buddies, right? Yeah, well, that'll happen with Jinwoo. He becomes buddies with his evil twin. All right. So that leaves it up for me. I mean, that's all I got for this. Like I said, I thought it was all right. I'm anticipating whatever the last two episodes are going to be, and hopefully they wrap it up pretty well. Action-packed. So I hope we leave off on a banger. Not so much of a cliffhanger. A little bit of a cliffhanger, but something that like just feels completed and wants us wanting more.
Right.
There's definitely going to be a lot more. So we already know that. So it doesn't have to be a huge cliffhanger, but something that feels like it's completed and we're ready to move on to the next season whenever that comes again.
Right. Luckily, I think we have X-Men 97 coming up, and I think all of us are going to watch that.
On board? Yeah. Have you guys
more excited for that.
There we go.
Of course, Retro Raymond would be.
The characters of our childhood.
Yeah. Actually, have you guys gone back to trying to watch X-Men animated series?
Not yet, but I'm going to do that.
I've done, not through Disney Plus, but I have in the past, and the show doesn't really age well.
Yeah, I tried going, and man, I couldn't. It was just so dated.
It has weird pacing issues. Yeah.
I'll be honest, I'm doing a YouTube recap on everything before I jump in, and that's how I'll consume all that. And then whatever I remember, I'll remember, and it'll go from there. Yeah, I'm excited and curious to see what X-Men 97 is going to be about, and yeah, be forward to discussing it with you guys as well. All right, so that's it from us. So everyone listening in, hope you enjoy this podcast episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to us. So until next time, have a fantastic day. Hey guys, thanks for listening to our show. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback for us, you know, we greatly appreciate that. If you can send us an email to worktimefundpodcast@gmail.com, or you can send us a message at X, you know, formerly known as Twitter, and our handle is @worktimefundpod. Thanks again.